proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions with another radio Bible broadcast. The 9th to 13th verses of Matthew chapter 6 comprise a familiar section of scripture known as the Lord's Prayer. The title actually constitutes something of a misnomer. The petition in question should bear the name Disciples' Prayer. Jesus Christ intended for his adherents to pray to God like that, but it didn't apply to Jesus Christ himself, for example. Jesus Christ would never ask his Father to forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Luke chapter 11 provided a parallel setting for the Lord's Prayer. There are differences between the two accounts, though. Luke's narrative concluded with this request, quote, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," unquote. While Matthew's account contained that prayer, it ended with a doxology, quote, "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen," unquote. Perhaps Matthew and Luke addressed two separate occasions where the Savior uttered similar words. Or perhaps, since Matthew was an eyewitness and Luke had the report from those who were eyewitnesses, that Luke simply rephrased what the others had said. The Lord's Prayer contains three affirmations and four petitions. It balances the sovereignty of God with reliance upon God to meet needs. The opening passage in the Lord's Prayer demonstrated that Jesus Christ directed that discourse only to those who were his adherents. He started by exhorting his audience to pray to, quote, "Our Father, which art in heaven." No one, whether Jew nor Gentile, no one can have a family relationship with God apart from Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ informed his disciples in the 14th chapter of John, quote, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," unquote. It is also recorded in the first chapter of John, verse 12, that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Only those who have already come to saving faith in Jesus Christ have the standing to refer to God as their Father. The first affirmation in the Lord's Prayer was this expression, quote, "Hallowed be thy name," unquote. This phrase denoted the act of venerating the divine name and all that that name represents. God expects his people to show him reverence. After the death of Aaron's oldest sons, an incident recorded in Leviticus chapter 10, Moses informed their father, the high priest, that God, quote, "will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified," unquote. According to the 8th chapter of Isaiah, God instructed the Jews that they needed to, quote, "sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread," unquote. This command is binding on New Testament Christians as well. In the 3rd chapter of 1 Peter, that writer called upon his readers to, quote, "sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." The first affirmation in the Lord's Prayer thus involved having his people hallow his name or make it holy. That process includes yearning for God to establish his kingdom on earth, where he is in direct control of human affairs and all willingly submit to that control. It also involves calling upon God to work his will on earth, as he does in heaven. The next lesson we have are going to deal with those specific subjects. Parts of the Lord's Prayer where the Christian expresses his desire and will that God be sovereign on earth, as he is sovereign in heaven. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible broadcast.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.